Hey cousin, welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to provide foundation for the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you have not guessed already, my name is Coco. Please feel free to give a like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening. You can also leave a 5-star review, much like our cousin Purple Lover did. Purple Lover said, right on time. So appreciative of this podcast. It has helped me immensely to get my practice in order. Thank you so much, Purple Lover, for listening. Thank you for everyone who's left a review or a like or a comment. I appreciate you so much. I'm glad that you find me helpful. what separates me, I guess, from a lot of other workers online is that I am not an elder, right? I mean, child, age is creeping up on me. I will be 36 very soon. But I'm not an elder, and I will never say I'm a crazy powerful witch doctor, root worker, any of that. And I'm never going to give a 6-month course. Okay, that's never going to do that. But I'm always, always trying to add to the conversation, give a different frame of reference, or give a different point of view. And, you know, in the mix, also provide some folklore for entertainment. You know, just keep that tradition alive and sharing our stories, I think, is really important. So thank you so much, cousin, for sticking with me. I hope you like this episode as well. Okay, so what are we doing this week? Okay, this week, I'm going to add to the conversation by talking about spiritual baths. I think people in general misconstrue what constitutes a spiritual bath in hoodoo, right? Like if I say spiritual bath, most folks think of a bathtub full of herbs and flowers surrounded by candles. And to be fair, looking back at my field journals and looking at like the beginning of my practice, I thought the same thing. That's because that's what you see online. You know, you see on Instagram, you see when you type in how to do a spiritual bath, that kind of stuff, that's what you get, right? But that's not typically the way it goes in hoodoo. I mean, you can, there's no hard rules, right? So you could do that. But you typically, when you take a spiritual bath, you are not luxuriating. You are not luxuriating or soaking up, you know, in the water. It's not a time for like muscle relaxation or a time for like hot tubs, you know, like it's not that. Spiritual baths are usually an active endeavor as you cover yourself with the spirit or medicine of the materials that you've chosen. So I've talked about this across multiple episodes, but I think I want to take this episode to just like boil it down. You know what I mean? To like just explain it. So what does a typical spiritual bath look like? Okay, so if we had to like do spiritual bath in 5 easy steps, you pick your herbs and spices, your roots, based on the need of the work, right? So whatever it is that you are trying to fix, whatever condition you're trying to uncross, whatever it is that you need to accomplish with this bath, that's what you pick the herbs, spices, roots that best go with that. So what I choose for a cleansing bath would be different from a protection bath. Or maybe if I'm feeling crossed up, my uncrossing bath is going to look different from the cleansing and the protection bath. You understand? Then you take whatever it is and you make a tea. Now you're not going to, making a tea, I think, is the best way for me to describe it. But really what I'm talking about is you're going to take, I'm literally about to describe the steps of making tea. You're going to take water, a small amount of water, 8 ounces, 10 ounces. And you're going to take your herbs, spices, and roots, and you're going to steep it in, you know, really hot, almost boiling water. So that way, the water is infused with the herbs, roots, and spices. And you're not going to drink it. No. Then you're going to add that tea into a larger bowl with warm water. And after you've, you know, used your Dove or your Leva 3000 in the shower, then you're going to wash with the tea you've made, with the concoction you've made. Let me tell you, I have done this for years. I want to say at least after my first year, I've done this. That first year I did the fill up the tub, put the herbs in, you know, the whole deal. But then after that, it didn't sit right with me. After a couple of spiritual baths, it didn't sit right with me on like the mechanics of it, right? Soaking didn't sit right from what I understood water to do, from what I understood the herbs to do, from what I understand as hoodoo, as the folk magic of our people, how I understand that it works. So I came up with, like, I started doing this. I don't want to say I came up with it. It's not an original thought. I started doing what I described to you. Pick my herbs, spices, and roots, make a tea, and then get a larger bowl, put the tea in the larger bowl with warm water, and then wash myself down or up with it. And I felt relieved, honestly, when I started looking for community and going out and meeting people, right? Talking to people, and they were doing the same thing. I know that shouldn't have made me feel relieved, but like I've said before, I'm not walking with a mentor, I'm free learning. So I don't have a dedicated teacher to tell me. I go out into the community and I talk to people. I talk to the elders who've been doing this a little longer than me, talk to my contemporaries and compare notes, and then go from there, you know? So it felt good to know that my instinct was right, right? That this is the way that we should be doing our spiritual baths, that most of the time, if not all the time, you're not going to be luxuriating. You're not going to be soaking up stuff. It's an active process with a tea that you've intentionally made. Okay, so once you're done with the washing up or down, you step out of the tub, shower stall, wherever it is that you bathe, and you let yourself air dry. Okay, or you might follow it up with something else to layer your work, or you know, however you want to finish. But once you're done, you let yourself air dry. And that's it. Pick your herbs, make a tea, put that tea into a bowl you don't mind taking with you into the bathroom, wash up or down, finish and air dry. No need to fill the entire bath, no need to sit and soak for 30 minutes to an hour, and no crazy cleanup afterward, right? Make the tea, add to a larger vessel of water, clean yourself hygienically first, then clean yourself spiritually. Boom, bada, boom, bada, boom, done, right? Finished. Now, if you've been here before, you've been around with Coco, then you know that when something is that simple, the work is typically very nuanced, right? It's never like the work is simple, what you have to do is simple, but the nuance around it is not, right? Like there's so many other little things to remember, things to keep in mind as you do the work. For instance, you may ask yourself, what herbs, spices, roots do I use to make the tea? Right? And again, that depends on what work you're doing. And you want to keep animism in mind. So animism and hoodoo, the idea that there is spirit and purpose in all the natural objects we come into contact with. That principle is a cornerstone to folk magic in general, and very much a cornerstone in hoodoo. If you want to understand more about animism, specifically from a secular perspective, because I am not Christian, so I'm coming at it from a secular perspective, go back and listen to my episode, Animism and Hoodoo. But long story made very short, you would find the herb, spice, root that best suits the work you want done. So if I'm trying to sweeten my conditions, I'm not going to use black pepper, right? If I want to remove work that was sent to me, I'm not going to use sugar, right? You feel what I'm saying? There are a number of books that list correspondences that you can follow, or you can spend some time in an occult shop that's aimed towards folk magic practitioners, or online apothecaries that are run by hoodoo workers, and you can kind of study their apothecary, right? Study what is used for what. Or you can ask an old person who knows, right? And they'll guide you, you know, through. You got to listen to the story that they're going to tell you, because they're probably going to tell you a story first, and then, you know, they'll guide you through what you need to do. Okay, but you pick more than one ingredient, though there are a few baths out there that call for one ingredient. It's not like it's a hard rule that you need to have more than one, but it is typical that it's more than one. But there are some very famous one ingredient baths that are used in hoodoo. I think a big example is the black walnut whole bath. That breaks ties. You just need some black walnut hulls. Or there's a bath for uncrossing that you just use five finger grass, right? That's a quick and dirty uncross. You do five finger grass. So yeah, you can. They're definitely outliers, examples of outliers where it's just one ingredient. But typically, you choose an odd number of materials. That's roots, herbs, and spices, and you start with the number three. You might bring your own numerology into it. I've talked about that before, about like how, depending on your practice, depending on what you're blending it with, you know, there might be a specific number that you use, numerology that you use to kind of add to your work, add layers to your work. But typically it's just an odd number starting with the number three. That's what you want to pick, as many as you like, starting with the number three. Make sure it's an odd number. Now, I've said this before, I am a fan of the number three. I think when picking your materials for oils, for baths, for washes, for anything, really, you shouldn't add the entire seasoning cabinet. You know, I did make this one oil called 7x7 oil. And I know that there are some things out there like that, where it's like sevens and nines and 12s and 21 herb bath and that kind of stuff. But typically, three is perfect. One of my early mentors, she told me that three was the perfect number because it makes you really target the ailment, right? Target the condition. Like, you really have to carefully pick what it is you want when you have 30 choices, but you can only choose three of them, you know? So that's also something to keep in mind as you do your work. Okay. So why are we making a tea first instead of just adding the three, you know, materials right into the bath straight away? Well, one, and probably less important now that I think about it, it's just crazy messy. And I think we'd all like to skip that kind of cleanup. Like, you took your cleansing bath and you let yourself air dry, and you may have smoked yourself or smoked the house afterward, or, you know, you lit your peace candle, blah, blah, blah. And you got on, you know, your light colored clothes and you're feeling good, and you're sitting in the chair and you're reading a book and it feels great. And then it dawns on you, oh, shit, I have to wash out, you know, the 21 herbs and spices from my tub. You know, I need to go and get the drain cleaner because I've just put, like, you know, X number, like a cup of oil in my tub. You know, like, no good. Like, logistically, it's just a nightmare. And if there's one thing you can say about my practice, is I try to make it efficient. try to make it efficient as possible. So when I do have to do, you know, more involved, deeper work by my choosing, by my own making, it's for purpose, right? But like, I, y'all, all about efficiency, really. More than that, more importantly, by steeping the materials in water first, you've made a concentrated medicine that you want to administer. Like, you've pulled the spirit of those herbs and spices or whatever you're using, and you've infused it into the water. The water remembers, right? And then by adding that tea to a larger bowl of warmer water, it's just going to make it more comfortable for you to use while also maintaining the integrity of your bath, of your concoction, of your tea, you know. And it makes it easier for you to wash up and down with, you know. So the washing up and down. So if you are trying to remove something from you, the spiritual gunk, the hex or curse, the jinx, the whatever, you're trying to remove something, then you wash down. So you start at the top of your head, right? And you move the tea from the top of your head down to your foot, right? And you flick it off like you don't want it anymore. You're trying to get spider webs off of you, or like you're trying to get sand off of you. Like you're moving the tea down, flicking away from you, right? If you are trying to bring in a blessing, protection, that kind of thing, then you move up. You move from the foot to the top of your head, up, patting it in, making sure it sticks to you, right? Symbolic, it's symbolic in nature, and I don't think I need to explain the symbolism. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. but yeah, that's how you would move the water around you. So then the final piece of the puzzle you have to take in mind is, how do you finish? How do you finish? Well, when do you start and how do you finish? So that has a lot to do with the work you're doing, honestly. Say I am doing a removal or an uncrossing, or I'm trying to open my roads, right? I would stop up the tub. Like, make sure the tub is stopped, and so the water collects underneath of me. And then I would have a small container, and I would collect that bath water, right? And then after I've done my bath, after I've air dried, after I've done all that stuff, then I would take it to a crossroads, right? Or sometimes you'll see in traditional work that was written down, like captured in folklore and anthropology, you'll hear them say that they toss it out the front door, the back door, usually the back door. That also has to do with timing. So like, if you need to remove something, then you might do it before the sun rises, and you have to toss the water out as the sun rises, right? Like, so that's the nuance I'm starting to talk about. The nuance is in the herbs you choose. It's in the time you decide to do it. It's in disposal. Say I'm just like overwhelmed and I need to build myself up, so I'm just taking a bath for my own personal power, like to build myself up. Self-love bath, if you will. Yeah, I'm not worried about tossing that out the window or the door or taking it to a crossroad. I'm not worried about it. The drain can just take whatever it is that's left. But like, sometimes depending on the work, you have to take in mind when to start and how you finish as well. Okay. All right. What else do we need to take into consideration? Oh, okay. So spiritual baths sometimes is the whole work, right? It is the fix. It is the whole thing you need to do. And then sometimes it's a precursor. So you can have a spiritual bath before you go into work, like to cleanse yourself before you get into a very heavy session. In the Black Cat Bone episode, I talked about Zora Neale Hurston's efforts to get the black cat bone. And in it, she tells us that she had to collect rainwater that never saw the light of day. No sun, no lightning. And then she had to bathe with that to get her mind and body in order before she underwent the rite of the black cat bone. Now, there was some other pre-work stuff she had to do. She had to drink a wine. She had to meditate. She had to fast, etc. But it's not uncommon to take a spiritual bath as prep before you go into something. So like when I know that I am going to the pagan group that I meet with out in Frederick sometimes, and they're going to have a big ritual, I take a spiritual bath before I go, right? I take a cleansing bath and then I wear a protective amulets and stuff. But I know that I'm getting ready to go into ritual. I know I'm getting ready to go in with a group. I don't want to carry anything in there with me, right? So I take a cleansing bath. But sometimes the bath is the work. Like, it's not the prep. It is the thing you do. It's the medicine or the shield that you need. So think like a bath for protection or to uncross, right? That's the work, right? Okay, so we're what, 20 minutes in? Here's what you've been waiting for. Here are some spiritual baths that you can take, if you will. So we've already talked about two of them, the black walnut bath, which is you take the hulls off of a black walnut and you make a tea out of it and you bathe with that. That is typically used to help you break ties or clear and cut work from like relationships and such. Similar idea to a cord cutting, I guess. Like if I had to pick something that's a little more mainstream to compare it to, it's similar to cord cutting, but not necessarily in practice. So like it's less of severing ties, like you're cutting your tie away from someone, and more about like removal, more about clearing them from your head, cutting them out of your life, like letting the past stay in the past, not taking it with you as you move forward. It's also, I don't know where I read it, so take this with a grain of salt, but it could also be used for like hex breaking, jinx breaking, that kind of thing. But typically, when a black walnut bath is referred to someone, it's to help move past the situation, right? To clear it out of your life. So that way you're not holding on to it as you move forward. We also talked about the five finger grass bath for uncrossing. So just say your shit ain't right. It's just one condition after another piling up, like making life hard. You didn't step into anything per se, and no one sent anything bad to you. It's just life being trifling. Then you take a five finger grass bath. You know, I think there's a time frame for that. Hold on. Yeah. Look at me remembering stuff. Five finger grass used to uncross, make tea, strain in it, and bathe in it 9 times. That's what you got to do, right? Take 9 baths with it. Over 9 days, you can do it, 9 different sessions. It doesn't say. It doesn't specify. This is from Mules and Men. I've seen it in other places too. I would probably say 9 days, right? So even it's one herb over 9 days. Here we go with the odd numbers. An old school bath you may hear about is ammonia baths. You might see some people on TikTok or YouTube shorts or in a Reddit forum telling you to do ammonia and bleach. Don't do that. That's a great way to die. Don't do that. Mm-mm. Ammonia or bleach, but never ammonia and bleach. You'll make a gas chamber. So be careful with your use of ammonia. But an informant told Harry Hyatt this bath technique to protect yourself from your enemies. All right, you get some ammonia and a spoon of salt and vinegar and you bathe 9 nights or mornings, whichever you prefer, and you take a bath in that, and that protects you, keeps your enemies from doing anything to you. That's 3 ingredients, okay? Ammonia, salt, vinegar. 3 ingredients over 9 nights or 9 mornings, whichever you prefer. I honestly typically prefer to do night. Like if I have a choice, when I find work and it gives me the choice, I usually prefer night. Because I know that, you know, I wash the day away with my skin so soft from Avon, you know, or from a lemon soap bar that I made. And then I do the ritual bath. And all I got to do now is just air dry, you know, put on my bright yellow muumuu, you know, sit in my armchair and read a book and relax. That something about night makes me feel really good. Okay. So if that ammonia one makes you nervous, you can try this one ingredient bath. A New Orleans informant told Harry Hyatt. It goes something like this. You get some basil, some sweet basil. Okay. It's a leaf that grows. You plant it. You get you some basil seeds and you plant that, and it grows and it smells nice and it's good around your place. So it's good to just have around the home. Now you take the water and you get yourself a handkerchief, for instance. You put it in a bowl with just a little bit of that water that you boiled that basil in. And then you take it and you wipe yourself down. You bathe yourself with that for 9 mornings. And whoever it is that is against you cannot do you any harm. No harm. So that's on pages 416, 417 in the first volume of Harry Hyatt's collection. Yeah, can't do you any harm. Sweet basil, imagine that. All right. I feel like that's something we all have. You know, you might have that dried in your medicine cabinet right now. Oh, not medicine cabinet, in your spice cabinet right now. Or you can go to the nearest grocery store and get you some sprigs of basil. I like to keep basil. I don't have a really good track record of growing it, but I try every year. I don't know what it is about me not being able to keep a basil plant alive, because it's not particularly difficult. But yeah, it's one of the easier baths you can do. It's one of those rare one ingredient baths, but again, one ingredient for 9 mornings. Okay. So baths aren't always just used for protection against your enemies, which is so, every time I say protection against your enemies, I'm like, that's some main character stuff. But you get what I'm saying, like from the evil eye, from people sending bad things your way or trying to. It's a preventative measure. Baths are not just for protection. They can also be used for removal. So in true Coco fashion, I can't just give you the ingredients, right? No. I'm going to tell you a story. So here's a story out of Mobile, Alabama. I was hoodooed in 1895 and we're in the white folks' kitchen cooking. At home the night before, I got blind and I seen a woman, you know, going down to the ground, making a mark. And she say, when she come, she gonna walk right over this. And, you know, I seen that in my dreams. So when I went out that morning and she was in the kitchen dough, and she walked in the kitchen dough and opened the dough and made a fire in the stove, and made biscuits and put them in the stove and put my coffee and put on my grits and got my bacon ready to fry. This was in Candom, Alabama. Yes, sir. That's my home. Yes, sir. Candom, Alabama. After I got that all ready, I went to set my table. Got my table all set and everything, and come back to the kitchen and was taken with a swimming in the head. So bad, I just couldn't hardly see. I says, what's the matter? And I pulled the line off then and went back into the kitchen and went to stoop down to open the dough to get the biscuits out the stove and fell. And they had to carry me. There's an old man named, Uncle Nassie. Mm-hmm. Well, my mother sent for him, and he come and told her she just did send for him in time. And he went in the woods, and he got some of the green cuckoo burrs. He made a poultice, and he put it all over my head. Just wrapped me up in that, you know. And then the next morning, he was to bathe me. He gave me some saltpeter and some sody and salt to put in the water. Those three things, and I bathe with it every morning, throw it to the sunrise. Yes, sir. Every morning, throw it to sunrise. And after that, I began to get all right until I got Chan Mobile. One day, I was working again out here on Montgomery Street Loop in Mobile. Well, that ain't been about 5 years ago. Yes, sir. That's right. This leg swole up so bad, you see, and thought it was broken. And I sent for a doctor, and no doctor. They worked on it, and they couldn't do any good. And so I bathed in that salty water, you know, that is always mighty good. Couldn't do nothing with it. Well, it began to burst, and little old bugs ran out my leg. So I went to a man that was called to be wise, you know, and he told me to get me some saltpeter and some sody and vinegar and mix them all together and bathe in it. And I did, and it's all right now. I like Hyatt's tomes, his collection, because you get stories like that. But so this woman was hoodooed, and she got rooted, right? She saw it coming. She had a dream about it, so she knew something wasn't right. She felt dizzy. They called for the local root person, and there's a poultice made for the head to relieve the dizziness. But in order to remove what was put on her, she had to sit and saltpeter, sody, and salt, like regular salt, those three things every morning, and then throw it to the sunrise. That's what she says. You gotta throw it to the sunrise. So, like, I don't know what sody is. S-O-D-Y. I have no idea what that is. when I looked it up, my best guess is that it was probably like soda or soda water, like the fizzy water, you know. I don't know. But that's what they did. That's what she did. And then that was in Camden, Alabama. Then she had bugs coming out her legs, right? When she sat in a salt water bath, when she got to Mobile, and she had to call another wise man, another root person, right? And this time, the remedy for that was saltpeter, sody, and vinegar to remove whatever was put on her, you know? So, you might make your own removal concoction, but clearly saltpeter and vinegar is a good first to use, depending on the ailment situation, I suppose. You know, one thing you don't hear a lot about anymore in hoodoo is people causing like critters to fall out of people. I'm gonna do a whole episode on that. Y'all think I'm joking, but that's an actual thing. Like someone will root someone or hoodoo someone, and the person will feel snakes or lizards or geckos or bugs in their stomach and their legs and their arms. That's a real thing. that's told, at least. Okay, anyway, that's not what this is about. This is about spiritual baths. Okay, so my go-to removal bath, like when people sent something my way, my go-to removal bath is coffee, lemon, and agrimony. It's as gross as it sounds. It's as absolute gross as it sounds. Mm-hmm. But it works. Okay, here's Coco's story time. I had a neighbor once who was strange. They never outright confronted me, but they did like weird things. Like a random welcome mat was found in front of my door, but it belonged to them. And I walked over it before I had the sense to clean it up and put it back in front of their place. They would tap on walls at weird times of day. And one day they woke me out of a dead sleep by connecting their music device to my Bluetooth, you know? And I got unsettled, you know? I got unsettled. I felt like maybe I stepped in something or that they left something for me, and I couldn't rest in my place. My life kind of got turned upside down. And honestly, I was a little scared to be home by myself. I was a lot scared to be home by myself. My oldest nephew lived with me at the time, but he spent most of his days at his boyfriend's house. So most of the time it was just me. And this was before my cat. This is before I had my cat companion, Grace Jones. So at the time I was very, very, very new to anything occult. Very new. And I picked up somewhere that coffee, lemon, and salt or agrimony or like a variety of things would make a good removal bath. And I asked, I literally just walked into an occult shop and I told them what was going on with me and asked if they could think of anything to help me or like if I was on the right track. And at first I was going to do coffee, lemon, and salt. And they're the ones who suggested agrimony. Older gentleman, grizzled, his skin was leather. He was an old man. Anyway, he also talked to me about return to sender work. And thinking back now, it all seems like overkill. Seems like a lot of overkill, but it worked. I did it for 3 nights and I worked that candle for like 2 nights before it completely split. Like it split down the middle. I could no longer work the candle. And I took the remnants of that to a crossroads far, far, far away from my house. My nephew came home that night, I remember, and he went with me that night because it was like 11 p.m. when the candle split. And I was freaking out about everything, like just bugging. I just wanted it all to be done and gone. Like I just wanted it away from me. And after that, all the odd stuff stopped. The taps, the welcome mat shifting, like all that stopped. And the neighbor across from me skedaddled, like they just left the building. I honestly do not think I was the intended target, because there were these other like college girls who had a lot of very witchy memorabilia on their car. And every time I saw them, you know, they were dressed like typical modern witchy, you know. And it's like 2020, 2021. So, you know, everyone was a witch then. And I think I just, and they were both like all three girls were college students. I think I just kind of got caught in the crossfire of what was happening, you know. But yeah, even now, my go-to removal is, depending on the situation, is coffee. Very strong coffee, like black coffee. Lemon and either salt or agrimony, depending on the situation. That's also around the time I created this like blessing bath, renewal bath for myself. When I feel drained and overwhelmed, I would use angelica, lavender, and hyssop. Hyssop is a biblical herb and probably another one of those herbs that's like a one and done bath, you know? It's found in Psalms, 51:7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Yeah. So that's a biblical herb. Probably like if you had one herb to use to cleanse yourself, right? You got time to source one thing and be done. Like this whole thing, I'd be done in 5 minutes. I would pick hyssop if you need a cleanser. And then I chose lavender in this particular bath to calm my anxiety, and angelica or Holy Ghost root to help like heal my spirit, to, you know. So the lavender was more of a body thing. And the Holy Ghost root was like more of a spirit thing. For sure. You want to know what's crazy? What's crazy now is that normally when I take a spirit, no one asked for this, but I'm telling you, normally when I take a a spiritual bath now, it's to remove something. Like I do it as a removal or to cleanse, right? Like a before work to cleanse. And then I air dry and then I anoint my body with oil. So you could do a 2-for-1 and do a removal bath and then turn around and follow it up with something to put blessing on you or to protect you, like in the bath. But I don't. I normally will do the removal bath and then hop out and then air dry. And then before I put, you know, something comfortable and relaxing on, I anoint my body with the oil blend of my choice. To like, for a couple reasons. One, your girl got dry skin. Your girl's dry. Mm-hmm. So after I take a bath, my first thought is to always like reach for the Gold Bond. So I figured I would help my skin and spiritually layer on blessing by anointing my body with oil. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing. So like if it's a blessing thing, then I go from foot to the tip of my head. Yeah. There are all sorts of baths you can create to draw blessings to you or to remove things from your life. There's also baths for like self-love, money, like all sorts of conditions. Some good resources if you are interested in doing tried and true work, but you do not have a mentor. If you can get a hold of Harry Hyatt that and you don't mind weeding through that, it's good stuff in there. There's a book called Mama's Mojo. It's written by Mama Barduina Roland and the Hoodoo Queen Co Meadows. It's distributed by the Hoodoo Queen's like brand Conjure Self, and you can find it on Amazon. It's a thin book. It's got some good information in there that you can try. You can actually check out Conjure Self's YouTube channel to see if you vibe with what the Hoodoo Queen is offering. There's also a book called African American Herbalism by Lucretia Van Dyke. She has her own website as well. If you want to check her out, I'm sure there are other contemporaries out there who are doing work for the community, but these are the first two books that came to the top of my mind when I thought about spiritual baths. There's also a plethora of sellers out there selling bath salts and soaps that come ready-made with instructions. So you just have to get in the tub and do the work. And if you feel crafty, like I think I'm a pretty crafty person, you can take your spiritual bath and turn it into a salt scrub or turn it into a soap. So that way you don't have to steep the tea every time. You know, you have a soap for open road, you have a soap for cleansing, and you've created it with the oils, with the, with the infused oil, with the herb. You've you have the herbs in the soap, so that's helpful as well. And you know what, if you want to just fuck around and find out and try on your own, that's good too. You know, just remember the steps: assemble the herbs, roots, and spices you think will best get the job done. Create a tea, then pour that tea into a bowl of warm water, and after you've done a hygienic bath, you wash yourself with your tea mixture. Wash down if you want to get rid of whatever it is you don't want. Wash up if you want to bring in blessings. Make sure you air dry afterward. And keep in mind how you might want to dispose of that bath water and what time you want to start your bath. And, you know, since you're being a mad scientist, make sure you write down what you did and make sure you record the results. So that way you can go back to that same work again and again and again. All right. You've reached the end of the podcast. I have like 3 questions I found online, and I'm gonna be honest with y'all, I don't feel like reading them. I don't feel like reading them, and we are 45 minutes in, and I think that's enough. I think we've talked enough today. So before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world, okay? That using techniques like spiritual baths in your practice will help you understand your practice a little bit better. It's definitely a foundation that you should build into your practice, and is like a cornerstone of our work as hoodooists, as root workers. Okay. And in using those baths, you can remove whatever is not serving you. I know we say that a lot, but whatever it is that's not good for you, you can remove it. Whatever someone sent to you, you can remove it. Just get in that tub, okay? And whatever blessings you need, you can put that on you. You can layer that on you, up from your foot all the way up to the crown, up to the sky. And cousin, you know that if you call for your blessings, they will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.